That's 1 Peter chapter 2. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation.
Well, let me add my very warm welcome to you if this is your first time at St. Helens, and I really hope it'll be the first of many. And the subject for this afternoon is our jobs. What do you do? We get asked that question a lot, don't we? Perhaps you've been asked that today. Perhaps you've been asked that since you got here this afternoon. But we're not going to be thinking about law or investment or insurance or hospitality or whatever it is. Today we're going to be thinking about our jobs as Christians. And let me say, first of all, if you're here this afternoon and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, well, you're really welcome. And I really hope that you'll find what we have to say interesting and you'd be interested in discussing it more afterwards. But if you would call yourself a Christian here this afternoon, well, perhaps you're thinking, well, what job? What is the job of a Christian? Isn't it just a personality trait? Isn't it just like your nationality or your hair colour or whatever football team you support or whatever you do with your free time at the weekend? Well, Peter, the Apostle Peter, the one who wrote this letter we'll be studying today, Peter does seem to think there is a job for the Christian to do. Or at the very least, he thinks there is a task that Christians are to be involved in. That's what we're going to be looking at today. And let's dive straight into the passage, looking at verses 9 and 10, first of all, to see what the job is, the task of the Christian, to proclaim God's excellencies. That's our first point today. And this is the task of all Christians, according to Peter, to proclaim God's excellencies. I wonder what the best compliment you've ever received is. When I was at school, I was sitting in a maths class and the boy next to me turned to me and said, "Leo, I could just dive into your eyes." Which was a bit weird, but very nice of him. And when you don't get compliments that often, you have to cling on to these things. So I hope you've received a compliment better than that. But if you are a Christian, well, can I suggest that perhaps the best compliment you've ever received is actually verse 9. Verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. If you know 1 Peter, or if you've been with us here at the Tuesday lunchtime for the past term, then you might know that this is a kind of summary of the first two chapters of this book. And what Peter is doing in this verse is accumulating all of the Old Testament blessings and saying that they are now available through Jesus. All of the things that ancient Israel and the Jewish nation were striving to achieve, well, they're now on offer to anyone who puts their faith in Jesus. And we could spend hours on this verse just looking at the points it makes, but just to give a very quick whistle-stop tour of how fantastic they are. A chosen race or a chosen people. There are no more divisions in God's people. That which separates people and is so divisive in the world no longer applies for God's people. A royal priesthood. Here's something you might not have thought as you looked in the mirror this morning. You are royalty if you are a Christian. It doesn't matter if you came from the top seat of your company today or the very bottom rung. It doesn't matter if you work in a job that everyone loves and respects, or if you work in a job that no one cares about. It doesn't even matter if you don't have a job. If you are a Christian, God sees you as royalty. A holy nation. We'll think a lot more about this idea of holiness in just a moment, but it is this idea in 1 Peter of being set apart. And that is you if you're the Christian. You are set apart from the world to represent God. A people for his own possession. You belong to God. I don't know what your most treasured possession is. I think mine is here on my ring finger, my wedding ring, to represent being married to a wonderful wife. It doesn't stop me losing it down the side of the sofa quite often, but it is one of my most treasured possessions. And if God were to show you his, well, he might show you the church, the body of Christians, God's treasured possession. And all of these things, all of these blessings are on offer to you if you're a Christian. It doesn't matter how valued by the world you are or how weak you feel. That was certainly the case for the original readers of Peter's letter. Just small groups of Christians scattered across northern Turkey. And they looked pretty pathetic. In a vast pagan world that looked so impressive, well, the church was just underwhelming and difficult. But Peter says it doesn't matter how you feel. If you are a Christian, you are extraordinarily blessed. But what is it all for? Those are the blessings and they're fantastic. But what is it for? What are we supposed to do in light of these blessings? Well, it's there in the latter half of verse 9, if you look with me, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are to proclaim the excellencies of God. And we love to proclaim excellencies, don't we? Just a few weeks ago, my wife and I, we went to a restaurant up in Shoreditch which did deep fried Oreos. And let me tell you, I just cannot stop talking about them. Come talk to me afterwards. We should go get lunch sometime. They're just fantastic. But whether it is food or films we've seen or our football team or maybe our own excellencies, we love to proclaim them, don't we? And Peter says the call of the Christian is to proclaim God's excellencies. And what's in particular? Well, verse 10, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the goal of all of those blessings if you're a Christian, to proclaim God's excellencies, to proclaim what he has done for us. And Peter drives this home in a really interesting way in his letter. And the way he does it is he uses a really powerful Old Testament image. And that is the image of a nation through which other nations will come to know God. And the image is used in various forms in the Exodus and the prophets. But the heart of it is this: a land or a world in darkness. In darkness where no one can see, where there is no hope, no one is doing good, all are doing evil. And in the midst of that darkness, a light. And you focus on the light, and the light is actually a nation. It is a holy people, a people set apart from the world. And it is clear that God is with them, and they are proclaiming God's mercies to the end of all the other nations coming to them. That is the image Peter is driving home. What are we to do with the wealth of privilege that we've been given as Christians? Well, we are to be that nation. We are to be that light to the world and tell the world of the God who gave us these blessings. And there's no limit in the scope in 1 Peter. This is not just on a Sunday, but it is every day. It's not just at church or in your Bible study group or your work Christian group, but it is everywhere. I don't know if you work in insurance or law or instead something interesting, but wherever you work, your job as a Christian is to proclaim God's excellencies, to tell the world of the God who saved you, who brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And whether you'll be looking through contracts this afternoon or doing whatever underwriters do, probably down the pub, God has placed you there to do this job of proclaiming God's excellencies. Whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in our homes, wherever God has put us, we are to proclaim his excellencies. And the city, it loves to think it is the front runner. It loves to think it's on the cutting edge of all that is good and new and progressive. But in reality, it is in darkness. The city is lost in sin and it is without hope. But it is the job of the Christian to be here, to be in this city, and proclaim that there is a hope, that there is a light, and there is a saviour willing to save in the Lord Jesus. Well, that's our job, but how are we going to do it? Do we all need to hand our notice in this afternoon and sign up at the nearest theological college and get qualified? Or perhaps we think we need to smarten up and get our hair cut nicely. You all look very smart, I must say. You've done a good job of that already. But that's what the Mormons do, isn't it? They think that if they can present themselves physically in an attractive way, well, that will be the best way to win people to Mormonism. Well, no, Peter says. What you need to do this job is holiness. And this is the point we'll be dwelling on for the rest of our time here. This is our second point today. The method, keep your conduct holy. Verse 11, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Again, if you were here, this term just gone, or you know 1 Peter well, then you might know that this idea of being an exile is one of the most key ideas in the book. And it is the idea that if you are a Christian, you are away from home. Just like the traveler stuck abroad, or the soldier fighting in a foreign country, or the refugee fleeing and seeking asylum. Well, so it is with the Christian, that as long as they're in this world, they are away from home. And on top of that, there is a battle, verse 11, a battle for godliness. Christian life is not like a war, someone said to me once. Christian life is not like a war. Christian life is a war. Not a physical one, but a battle to be godly, a battle to overcome worldly passions and our selfishness and our sinful desires, and to be like Jesus. In this world in which we are aliens, we are exiles, we are to enter this battle, this war, to be holy. Well, that doesn't sound much fun, does it? There's definitely more positive, cheery notes I could have delivered this afternoon. But is it worth it? Is it actually worth even striving for this godliness? Is it worth entering this battle to be godly? Well, yes, says Peter. And the reason is because it is in holiness that we are called to proclaim the excellencies of God and win souls for Christ. And the logic to this is verse 12. It's quite a tricky verse, I think. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honourable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. A fiddly verse, but here's how I think it works. The latter part, I think, is referring to conversion. By Gentiles, I think Peter's just referring to anyone who's not a Christian. And the day of visitation is when the Lord Jesus comes to earth again, sometimes called the final day. And Peter is saying that when the non-believers see the godly behavior of the Christians, well, that will be the first step into them believing, so that they will one day be believers on that final day, giving glory to Jesus on the day of visitation. And what Peter's doing here is he's making a point about your holiness. He's making a point to say that this is the method in which we proclaim the excellencies of God and through which people will be saved. Now, please don't mishear me. I'm not saying we just need to do good works. I'm not saying we just need to be kind and loving to people and that will be it. Of course, we need to tell people the gospel. The word of God is, well, it's that, it is the words of God, isn't it? And if we are not saying the words to people, well, our work will be in vain. But nonetheless, I think we do need to demonstrate and to prove its power. And as we tell people of the life-changing power of knowing Jesus, well, we need to show people of the life-changing power of knowing Jesus. And we'll do this through our godliness. They may speak evil against you and malign you. In fact, the letter of 1 Peter says that will happen if you're a Christian. You will face persecution. But any accusations or allegations they throw at you, well, your godliness will show that it's simply not true. I read an article a few weeks ago about a self-professed atheist who went to an Alpha course. That's an evening course to find out about the Christian faith. And the whole article was saturated with mocking and insults and deriding of the Christians who ran the course. And at the conclusion, the author even claims that the Christians who ran it were evil for doing so. And the article is written, it's out there, but wouldn't it be wonderful if that journalist who wrote it, they knew what they'd written, but in their hearts, when they considered the love and kindness and godliness of the Christians, well, they knew that the allegations just didn't fit. They knew that what they claimed just wasn't true. I've got a friend who first came along to a church as, well, again, actually, she would have said she was an atheist. And in fact, she thought Christians were hateful and bigoted. And she was struck by how when she came through the church doors, people were kind to her. And as she came the next week, people remembered her and wanted to get to know her. And those were the first steps in her coming to know the Lord Jesus. And I'm sure many of us here will know testimonies like that. Perhaps that even is your testimony. I don't know what people will mock you for back in the office, what they might accuse you of, what they say behind your back. I presume you don't know what they say behind your back either, but it's probably not flattering. But wouldn't it be fantastic if through your godliness, it was clear just how wrong they were? If the accusations just didn't stick. Indeed, it is in holiness that we are to proclaim God's excellencies. And as we start to draw to a close, well, I want to ask whether you think this is good news or bad news. Because I think for me, this message is actually quite hard. I wish that the methods to proclaim God's excellencies was just to be qualified, just to be knowledgeable, just to have the right degree certificate, or to be wearing the right clothes, or have the right haircut, or any of those things, because those things are doable, aren't they? They're just boxes to be ticked. It is easier to be well-read than it is to be loving to your neighbour. It is easier in churches to spend money on making our events really flashy and slick than it is to resist the passions of the flesh. Indeed, it is easier to win an argument through clever reasoning and good rhetoric than it is to win a soul by showing them Christ-like love. The call to pursue godliness is not an easy one. But as we close, I would love to encourage us as a Tuesday lunchtime congregation that it is a battle worth fighting for, and thus to set holiness as our highest goal. And it's so hard, isn't it? It is just hard to be like Jesus. It is hard to be godly, even in the easy times. And then there's those times when someone is, they're mocking you and they're just ripping into you for going to church, and you just know the perfect comeback. You just know how to vindicate yourself and tear them down and everything they've ever loved and send them home crying. But that is not how they will be won for Christ. And let me say again to anyone here who wouldn't call themselves a Christian, again, thank you so much for coming. You're welcome to all of our services here at St. Helens. And I really hope that you see that there is something different and unique about the way Christians live. Now, let me be really crystal clear here. Being a good person is not what being a Christian is about. Being a Christian is about being forgiven. Christians are forgiven people, not necessarily good people. And yet, I really hope that you see that there is something remarkable about the way that Christians are called to live. And if I can be so bold, can I suggest that the godly life, the life modeled after Jesus, the life Christians are called to lead, well, that really is the best life. That is life as God designed it to be lived. And it is the life Christians are called to. And on the back of that, can I say to you here, if you would call yourself a Christian, well, wouldn't it be fantastic if we were known above all else for our godliness? Speaking personally, I would love to be known for being intelligent, for being able to win any arguments, having an encyclopedic knowledge, or being able to charm anyone. But what Peter says we need is to be holy. And how much better would it be, instead of any of those things, to be known for godliness? How much better would it be as a Tuesday lunchtime congregation, or in your church or your workplace Christian group, if above all else, you were known for being a godly group of people? If by our conduct, if by the way we behaved and loved people, well, if it set us apart as the people of God, a light to the nations proclaiming God's excellencies and holding out hope to a city lost in darkness. Let me close with verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honourable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Well, allow me to close us off with a quick prayer. Father, your blessings towards us are hard to comprehend in their generosity and their wonder. But Father, as we do come to grips with them and understand how privileged we are, we pray this will motivate us to a godly life. And as we seek to do this task of proclaiming your excellencies to the world, above all else, we pray we'll be doing it as godly people. Please let us long to be like the Lord Jesus, particularly in our conduct in front of our friends and our colleagues. And we just pray, Lord, that through us, through our words and our behaviour, you will bring people to know the Lord Jesus for themselves and in him have light and life. And I pray this in your holy name. Amen.